It's 9 o'clock. I'll make a motion that we go back into work session.
One second.
Roll call.
Gaylor?
Aye.
Crunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, our next item of business is the Court Street Engineering consideration approval contract with C2A for design engineering services for Court Street in the amount of $121,000 and authorize the city manager to sign the required documents. Andy,
Mayor,
take care of the summary.
As everybody in town is aware, Court Street, from Park Street over to Lynn Street, needs to be repaired. It's in very rough shape. It's a school of gravel road. You have a lot of water flow issues coming through there and other things. And we spend a lot of time up there working on it. So kind of a drain on our resources, time and material-wise at this point. So we did manage to get this included in funding through MDOT, the local agency task force funding, same as we've used on Division Street on two occasions so far, hopefully a third occasion down the road. The basic scope of this project would be to install a complete curb and gutter roadway with storm sewer 2,900 feet in length of that road. That would also include the section of North Lake Street that runs from Lynn to Court, a gravel section of North Lake Street. Mm-hmm. We'll have to more than likely do some subgrade undercutting because of bad soils in the area, and some digital textile stabilization. Subgrade drainage is going to be required as we did on part of the portions of Charlevoix Street and Hannah Street to protect the road surface, the road bed. Underground water infiltration, and the 2-4 asphalt pavement. This street will mirror Charlevoix Street as far as the width of the roadway and the dimensions of it. In order to get this into the MDOT funding stream and the bid letting program, we need to commission engineering on this rather soon, by June 1st at the absolute latest. We had C3 put together a cost estimate for engineering service, and this engineering is not just for design, it's also the construction phase of the project as well. The bid phase of the project will be handled by MDOT, so we won't incur any costs to our engineering consultant for that portion of it. They have come back with a proposal for $121,000 to complete this work for us. We feel it's a good deal. I think we should proceed. We have Larry Fox here from C2AE to say a few words if he so desires or answer any questions of the commissioner.
Thanks, Andy. I'll keep it very brief. We've got the proposal. I think there's quite a bit of explanation there about the project consists of. We've done a detailed cost estimate. Actually, this is probably about the third or fourth one that the city, we've done over the years, the city will submit for the task force to funding. And finally, it did come up. So it's a current cost estimate on total construction, estimated just under $1 million for total project cost for that. And you can see what is included and not included in terms of sidewalks and those types of things. So that is what we've got proposed. And as Andy mentioned, let me clarify, this includes the full scope of services, design, construction, engineering, as well as there's some special testing required during construction for MDOT, asphalt, concrete, and some other things that you typically might not do for a street project. And that is included in here as well.
Do we have any further comments from department heads or staff? Citizens' comments or questions? Commissioners? Tom?
This is great that we're finally getting to this road. It's been a problem for a long time. And I commend the staff for putting it on the front burner and let's do it.
Gene?
I agree with Tom. Work needs to be done. Let's move forward to this project. I support the recommendation.
All right, Derek?
Thanks, Mayor. I'll echo the prior comments. My question, unless I overlooked, I didn't see. How are these costs? Is this strictly the city's cost for our part of those? Of that area, or how much is going to be in the township section, and is that part of the bid? Are they, do they have to submit along with us to complete the whole road instead of doing half of the road section? How does that proceed at this point?
Through continued discussions with Evangeline Township, their supervisor, Jim Howell, has a copy of this proposal. Mm-hmm. They know that we expect that they will cost share as part of this and the overall construction project. Mm-hmm. The estimates that you have before you is for a complete project of all the road sections in it. Matter of fact, I was talking to Jim today. We have a meeting scheduled for next week where we're going to go over this so he can bring it up to his board. We haven't finalized the numbers on that yet. That'll have to come back to the City Commission before we go out for bids or award any bid at least. But they do know fully well that a significant portion of this is going to be their responsibility as well. Whether they fund it themselves or go after a special assessment for their residents is something that will have to be discussed.
Does that come into play with regards to the grant process and who gets it, since the road legally will be on both sections? How is that addressed?
It goes directly through us. They are not eligible for this type of funding because they are not a road agency.
Okay.
I mean, if we're going to do anything, it would be through the County Road Commission, right. But they don't fund any of these projects. They look to the township. Mm-hmm. So it'll all go through us.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They're not eligible.
Okay. Yep, I support moving forward with getting some final numbers. I agree with not having sidewalks there. I think our money is better put into the other areas of that project. Mm-hmm. So I have. Thank you.
Laura?
Yeah, I appreciate the comments and the questions, and I'm in favor of moving forward on this project.
One question regards the, you know, the payment of the engineering fees. Now, is that done in increments as the project progresses?
Yes.
There's probably 10 or 15% of that to start with, and then 20 or 50. I mean, you got some kind of formula how that works?
So I can address that. Basically, we bill on a monthly basis for what we have completed, percentage completed of the project throughout the design, and then the construction phase is time and material. Build on a monthly basis. So it's not strictly a percentage, but it's the work that we put into in each month. We will bill you a percentage, and you and Andy will know how far we are to compare that to our billing. So, you know, typically we will be coming back with 35% design drawings and other things. So pretty good handle on the process about where we are.
And you made the comment the bid package, MDOT would be handling that. And you would be managing the, you know, the closeout on it and everything?
Yes, that's correct. It's a little complicated process, but MDOT, because the majority of the money is theirs, they handle the process. It's their pre-qualified contractors that have been on it. They determine whether it's acceptable or not. But we do the plan, and we do the construction administration and the monitoring of the project in compliance with their standards. So we act as your agent, basically.
And then the project administration is in this $121,000?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And to tell you the truth, this proposal is a little higher percentage-wise than we would normally do just for a city project, but the record-keeping requirements require that. I mean, there's a great deal of detail that we have to make sure we comply with to make sure that you get your money. So,
very good. Well, I'm in full support of this and ask for a motion from the commission.
I'll make a motion for consideration to approve the contract with C2AE for design engineering services for Court Street in the amount of $121,000 and authorize the city manager to sign the required documents.
Second.
Roll call.
Grunge?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Gaylord?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay. Our next item of business is the Evelyn Township Fire EMS Service Area.
Can you skip one?
Oh, I'm sorry.
90 Pleasant Avenue Civil Construction and Engineering Business.
Getting ahead of myself here again. Next item is the Pleasant Avenue Sewer Construction Engineering Bids. Consideration to accept the bid from NBC Contracting in the amount of $123,840 for construction services and bid from C2AE in the amount of $10,200 for engineering services for replacement of the sanitary sewer on Pleasant Avenue and authorized city manager to sign the contract. So, anyways, Dan?
Thank you, Mayor. You could just have this group and move on to the
Okay. I'm trying.
The weather's improving and construction season's about to start. So we brought an item that was a carryover from the beginning of March. The Pleasant Valley, Pleasant Vision Street project is going to start in about 1 month. And we need to complete the sewer project on Pleasant before the in the beginning of March, you authorized design and bidding of that portion of the project. We completed that and received bids. And the bids actually came in very good below what we estimated at the time. You have the bid tabs and recommendation from the engineer for approval of the contract. And the low bid was $123,840 for the NBC contracting. That's the same contractor that's going to be building the DOT portion of the Pleasant Valley project. So it's going to help with coordination of that project. And the money's within the budget. It's something that's needed in our contracts.
Thank you, Dan.
And Larry's here if you've got any questions.
So, any further comments from department heads on tonight?
You'll see on the wall, the section in blue here is obviously the section of Pleasant Street that we're going to be working on. And we have the sanitary sewer portion of that as well, too. There's also a small section, I think it's Division B in Dan's memo, which is a stub of storm sewer, which is north of Division Street between Division and Morgan here, where we've got a smaller piece of pipe. And our concern is with all the water that's going to be coming down here, it's going to hit this bottleneck, similar to the one that we just eliminated on Douglas Street. And rather than go forward with that, Division B is to take care of that issue where it ties into the larger pipe and then continues down to the lake. So just to make sure you understand what exactly where we're talking about.
Okay. Then there was a section of, and there at the one block long where the pipe was actually crushed? Or are we talking about the wastewater?
The sanitary sewer up Prospect Street. Some of that was crushed and repaired it in the past. There's a concern that laying storm sewer right next to it, putting vibrating compactors in the ground in the trench to rebuild it. They can damage the remainder of the pipe, and they'll put in the same time ahead of time. We did have that section of the sanitary sewer was TV, and there are structural problems, and it is time to replace it.
Thank you, Dan. Voting the commission, Laura.
I'm in favor of doing this. We've discussed it before, and it's a need that we need to fix. So I don't have any real specific questions on this project.
Okay. Thank you. Gary?
Thanks, Mayor. good thing that the bids came out the way they were, MDC, because we had talked about it before with continuity of the projects. And the timeline of one finishing and then the other needing to start, and how, and at that point, obviously, nobody knew exactly how the numbers were going to fall. I had asked at that meeting if we'd had any issues with NBC in the past or any of the other, and there wasn't. So the numbers coming in where they are, the continuity of the project, I think that only will facilitate a smoother, and timelier completion. That's our wish and desire. The section that Mike had just pointed out about fixing that little short section there did add to the cost of the proposed project, but we certainly don't want to fix a problem to only create another one. And as Mike also indicated, we just fixed this in another section on Douglas, so I'm absolutely behind that. It makes perfect sense to do that as well, so I'm in full support of the project moving forward.
Thank you.
Gene? I'm in full support. The work definitely needs to be done.
Tom?
I'm in agreement. I'm also in agreement and ask for a motion from the commission.
I'll make a motion for consideration of accepted bid from the DC contracting amount of $123,840 for construction services and a bid from C2AE in an amount of $10,200 for engineering services for the replacement of sanitary sewer on Pleasant Avenue and authorize city manager to sign contracts.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Gaylord?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, next item of business, Evelyn Township Fire and EMS Service Area Expansion. Consideration to approve the request of Evelyn Township to expand the service area of the Point City Fire and EMS Departments effective Thursday, May 1st, 2014. And
it's affecting everybody, so we're bringing them in.
Okay.
As the commission may recall, I've brought you up to speed that, or advised you that we've been approached by Evelyn Township and their supervisor, John Brandon, on several occasions over the past few months about the possibility of extending the areas of their township that we provide fire and EMS coverage to. He has confirmed and was provided in your agenda packets that the Evangeline Township Board has approved requesting formally that the City of Boyne City expand its fire and EMS service areas in the township to be effective basically at the beginning of Thursday, May 1st of 2014. I've got a map that I'll bring up in your sec that shows the areas that would be new to us. They've been currently served by the City of East Jordan's Fire and EMS Departments. I provided copies of this memo to both John and to Chris Yonker at East Jordan, so everybody knew what was going on, and there wouldn't be any issues with regards to implementation should the Commission choose to proceed with this request. The areas to be covered are shown on the attached map, which I'll bring up again in a second. The new boundaries would extend from and include the entire length of Ferry Road north to Lake Charlevoix and the entire length of Sanderson Road, including it and the area west to the south arm of Lake Charlevoix. Mm-hmm. On both Ferry Road and Sanderson Road, I made the point to include the roads themselves. We can't have one area covering the north end of it, or the north of the road, and the other group covering the south, and then nobody knowing there's an accident in the middle of the road, who handles it. So I basically included those roads to make sure that there wasn't going to be any confusion with regards to that. Both our EMS and fire departments have reviewed the proposed new boundaries. I know Dennis and some of his team, they're having a staff meeting this evening. Have gone out and actually started to explore some of those areas that there would be coverage on, and starting to have discussions about it, making sure that they know, you know, what areas are covered, which ones aren't, where there's dry hydrants, equipment to be monitored, things of that nature, so that if and when a call does come in, they'd be prepared to do so. And they feel they can both service these areas well without the need for additional equipment or personnel attributable to this expansion. Revenues for both our fire and EMS departments would increase with the expanded service areas, but none of this is included currently in the budget that was proposed for you at that time, because we didn't have a formal request to that when we approved that. The fire department charges are based upon the agreement that we currently have in place, which charges 0.675 mills for the taxable property that's covered. Based upon the calculations that we received from the township, the taxable value of the property covered in their township would increase from basically $48 million to almost $129 million, or by just shy of $80 million. This would equate to increased revenue for the fire department of about $54,000 in that fiscal year. The revenues, additional revenues to the ambulance department based on the number of houses that they're looking to bring in, which is in excess of 200 new dwelling units, would be somewhere in the range of between $4,000 and $5,000. These would have to be adjusted, made adjustments in the budgets as we go forward in the fiscal year. The contracts that we currently have with the township basically don't need to be revised if the commission desires to include these areas. They would just work into the formulas that are already spelled out in the agreements. The recommendation is that the city commission approve the request of Eveline Township to expand the service areas for the fire and for our fire and EMS departments effective on May 1st. And you have the other options that are before you, items 1 through 4, if you wish to consider any of those. And with regards to the map, this is the area. Basically, the area in green is the area that we currently make runs to. It basically stops at Wern Road. We've had earlier agreements and older maps that show that we should be covering a part of this, but that was basically an earlier discussion we had with the city of East Jordan on the coverage. And basically, they cover some of this area now, but we still get the funding for it. So basically, some of the new area that we'd be getting funding for is basically from this line going here and then continuing south. So basically, this portion of Ferry Road that would be additional to us and everything mm-hmm. north of it, and Sanderson Road and everything mm-hmm. to the west of it, mm-hmm. up to that point. Supervisor Rondon's here with regards mm-hmm. to this issue, and he can add or answer any questions.
The reason we included that Sanderson Road, because once you get down there, it's the only place to go. It ends. It just goes down about 3/4 of a mile and ends. Mm-hmm. So it's easier, whoever's out there, to go right down and catch that mm-hmm. without having to come send another department down there.
So mm-hmm. better response time, too.
Right, better response mm-hmm. time, because East Jordan has to come completely through mm-hmm. South Arm Township, then all mm-hmm. the way to the top of Eveline Township to make the turn there. And mm-hmm. now they move the fire building about a mile and a half further away on mm-hmm. 32. So their response time's a little longer. Mm-hmm. That's why we... And we haven't done anything since 99, roughly, on mapping or anything. So as we're growing, because we are the biggest tax shelter in the county, we have a lot of new building going up all the way around the lake. And we also go to Charlevoix to the castle. Mm-hmm. So we all have three fire departments, Charlevoix, East Jordan, and Boynton City. We tried to divide them up so everybody mm-hmm. had about a third. But East Jordan did have 2/3 of our township. Mm-hmm. And we just figured that further department is just... For you guys, are coming right out of the city, right into Eveline Township. Mm-hmm. So it's a shorter run for you than them to make that run.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, John. Mm-hmm. John Lamont, do you have any input on this or wish to?
Well, actually, I agree with Mr. Bonner with the fact that mapping out responses at times, we're almost the same mileage. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like 7.3 for us and 8.1 for East Jordan. And when you get to the end of Peninsula Road and you're going to, mm-hmm. we use that as the point, Jay would have to do, East Jordan would have to do the same thing. They'd have to respond all the way to the end of mm-hmm. Peninsula Road to turn on a ferry to go down towards mm-hmm. the lake. And so it's just...
I know you run everything with mm-hmm. past gas bill. Summer, you just cross the ferry. They yeah. stand and wait because they've got an ambulance in the area. Mm-hmm. To crush you.
And you're looking at, we were talking during the break, between 200 and 300 dwellings. Mm-hmm. And a lot of this is seasonal, so I mean, I don't see a significant impact as far as run volume. I mean, you know, if you mm-hmm. add 10 more runs, if you pay attention to what East Jordan mm-hmm. does as far as responding out there. So mm-hmm. it wouldn't cost us more equipment and more manpower or more mm-hmm. Activity. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, John. Mm-hmm. Thanks. Both Johns. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any further comment? Any citizens' comment? Okay, we're going to the board for discussion. Tom, would you like to start?
Well, it makes sense. I mean, we're hearing from John that he's coming to us with a proposal. It's not like we're going to them. And mm-hmm. and. My question was why, and you explained it, so it's a logical proposal, and we take in some more revenue, I'm all for it.
Thank
and it's the bottom line is safety for the people. That's the bottom line.
I agree with Tom. It just makes sense for Boyne to cover this area. I support the recommendation.
Derek?
Thank you. we've touched on it in the presentation and the commentary. Obviously, we have to look at our potential expenditures and equipment and capabilities, and that at this point, based on what I'm hearing, to my satisfaction, that it's been addressed and covered in the, mm-hmm. the concerns. Obviously, if we determine there's a change, then we'll have to review it at that point. Obviously, John Lamont has looked at the run history from East Jordan and mm-hmm. kind of get a ballpark. That doesn't always predict the future, but it kind of gives you a direction where to go. And as Township Supervisor Ponder said, he's dealing with three fire departments. He'd be responsible to the citizens to give them the best mm-hmm. coverage for their dollar and for their safety of their citizens and dwellings. I do have a question for Township Supervisor Ponder now. Which city is your favorite to work with? Like that on the record, please. In all seriousness, if it makes sense for everybody, mm-hmm. everything, then I'm in support of it. Thank you.
Laura?
Yes. I'm comfortable with going forward with this as a proposal, and especially with the research you've done, and it just seems to make sense. I would hope the residents like the idea. So. I would just.
We've been working on it for about 4 or 5 months.
Right. Yeah. So between 200 and 300 households currently, is what you would guess.
It's probably one of the areas that East Jordan has very little fire up there because they're very expensive homes. They get fire depressing equipment.
Yeah,
right. I mean, those are not cheap homes that you're picking up.
Right. So.
And they're not burning wood.
Okay. All right.
That's one of them. There's a Marilla place out there that's 25 mm-hmm. million. It's down on that Sanderson.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a big house.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And more coming.
More coming. We got more building permits than anybody in the county right now.
That would be adding to the numbers
here.
Yeah,
next year mm-hmm. keeps going up.
Okay.
I've read that at Somerset. Yeah, Mark Condos, he's breaking down right. for it. Right.
Okay, that's all I have.
Thanks,
here.
Laura.
Thanks.
I'm in full support of this recommendation and call for a motion from the commission.
I'll make a motion that the City Commission approve the request of Eveline Township to expand the service area of the Boyne City Fire and EMS departments effective Thursday, May 1st, 2014.
Second.
I just got a question. I got to get that switched over. I'm going to need a copy of the minutes. And if they have a few days, we'll just have to pay the difference. It may not happen right on the first because we got to get 911 to get that all set up in their system.
Right.
So it might be just a couple of days in there. Okay. I just sent May 1st, but we were moved.
Okay.
It's having to be
we need to change the motion then to a different timeline? Or
it can only be a couple of days, whatever it takes them to get switched over.
As long as I have approval from the commission to do it effective May 1st, if it's a day or two later,
okay.
I would assume that would cover it still.
Okay.
We'll work with the township and they'll take the lead on which day they want us to start.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do we have a second to that motion?
Second.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Town?
Aye.
Gaylord?
Aye.
Crunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you, John.
City, do you think it'd be possible to have a copy of that motion for John maybe tomorrow afternoon sometime or something? Or?
Yeah, we got to run all three of them up to EMS. Actually, 911 so they can make the switch over.
Mm-hmm. It will be passed.
Okay. I'll stop. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Next item of business is the budget amendments. Consideration to approve the fiscal year 2013 and 2014 budget amendments as presented in compliance with accounting and budgeting standards. And I believe this is
That'd be me.
Turn it over to you, Cindy. Mm-hmm.
That would be me. I kind of kept the memo brief because most of those are pretty, should be pretty self-explanatory, but if you have any questions, just please ask. But this is just basically to comply with the law to make sure we're complying with the budget standards and nothing really, really outstanding that you haven't heard or talked about already.
Okay. Any further comments from staff, department heads? Or okay, we'll move to commission for discussion. Laura?
I've skimmed through this a little bit and read through things and it makes sense, so I think I'm okay with it. I don't really have any specific issues with it. So.
Okay, Barry?
Thanks, Mayor. I don't have any questions at this time.
Jane?
No, I've gone over that. No question.
Tom?
I'm all set.
Okay, we'll ask for a motion then. Got a budget amendment?
I'll make the motion for consideration and approve for year 2013-2014 budget amendments as presented in compliance and accounting and budgeting standards.
Second.
Roll call.
Gaynard?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer? Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, next item of business is the retirees insurance stipend. Consideration to approve to add language to section 5.14B of the City of Boise's personnel policy stating that employees hired after January 1st, 2014 shall not be eligible for this benefit and authorize the city manager to execute the document.
In February 2005, the City Commission approved major changes to the post-retirement benefits future non-union retirees, including housing and myself, would receive. First was the retirement program itself for employees hired after June 1st, 2004. And that was changed from our MERS defined benefit program to the defined contribution program. This change was to provide a long-term cost savings and stabilization for the city. Also at that time, a retiree health insurance coverage stipend was added for up to 10 years of coverage after an employee had served 25 years or greater with the city and with some other requirements as well. The addition of this benefit, which was previously provided to unionized employees, was an additional cost to the city. Copies of the current non-union language and seniority list are attached to the memo that was provided. Wherever possible, the city has tried in recent years to keep in consideration benefit levels between various employee groups so they don't get too far out of line with one another and create some whipsaw. The city is required to report its expected other post-employment benefits, OPEB, and show a plan of funding for them. Several years ago, we had an actuarial study done on our costs, and we've been setting funds aside to help cover them in the future. Through the end of this fiscal year, the one that we're currently in now, we'll have set aside about $260,000 for this purpose, which is slightly over 50% of the estimated outstanding cost as determined by that last study. The maximum value of this benefit to an employee and the cost to the city per employee is $31,745 approximately. Since added in 2005, language phasing out the retirement health insurance coverage stipend over a period of years has been added to the unionized employee bargaining agreements. The city does not provide other health care benefits for retirees other than this program. The police union contract provides that employees that are hired after December 10th, 2009 are not eligible for this benefit. The AFSCME contract, which covers DPW, water, wastewater, and maintenance employees, provides that employees with more than 10 years of service, hopefully that's service as well too, as of March 29th, 2012, would not be eligible for this benefit. It's been the stated desire of the City Commission to phase out this benefit for all employees over a period of time. It's my recommendation that the City Commission approve language adding to our existing section 5.14B, which deals with this issue, that states employees that would be hired after January 1st, 2014 should not be eligible for this benefit. Again, there are four different options that are provided for the Commission's review and consideration. Here is the language as it currently exists in there, and usually what we've done is added to 5B somewhere down in here where that provision would go in. And then there's a list of employees, with Annie being the newest at the top, down to Cindy being our longest-term regular employee with us. Years of service obviously can be calculated off the hierarchy that's in there.
Not the oldest, just the
longest. So I'd be glad to answer any questions the Commission might have on this matter. Mm-hmm.
Staff or public? Jane?
No, I
have no
question.
Eric?
I believe we forgot the city staff and the public commentary before.
No. Yeah.
I thought this was strictly a commission decision.
Well, they're all strictly commission decisions, but we go through the pretty much the same process on any input on any of them.
Okay.
Thank you, Mayor.
So, do we have any comment from department heads or staff?
All the employees.
Employees?
I did share this this proposed memo with all the department heads and then all the non-union employees. I can't say anybody came into my office when I was shaking my hand in appreciation for it, but I didn't hear any complaints either.
Here?
Later. Well, as I look at this, the way that the recommendation is worded, it will cover every single employee that's there right now, regardless of how long they've been here. If we look at the police contract, theirs was anybody hired after that date. It did not address tenure, seniority. The DPW wastewater contract, the one in effect of 12, didn't say anybody hired it. It addressed you had to have at least 10 years as of that date moving forward, and therefore that. So I think we need to streamline this into one of the two existing languages to be uniform. And I think the discussion needs to be which one it is. I'm not for moving forward or anybody after January 1, 2014. We've talked about this on and off for a couple of years, and it's now finally before us, but I'm not in favor of using that as the cutoff date, with all due respect to at least Annie. She's not here, but just coming on board, you know, we've treated our union employees with a cutoff that did affect some of their employees. And it's not out of the question that this decision here tonight may affect some of the non-union employees. So to be fair and equitable, we would love to give everybody everything all the time. That would be a wonderful thing. Unfortunately, the reality is, it's not always feasible. You know, we're looking at almost 32,000. We've just set aside about 50%. I don't know. Depending on tonight's decision, if that number will go up or down, depending on where the cutoff is, but I think it's important that we look at a more fair and equitable decision. Definitely not starting in January 1, 2014.
I guess I'm confused.
Okay. the two different union contracts dealt with it differently. One of them, the police firm, just cut them off. It didn't matter if you had one day of service or 20 years. After December 10, 2009, whoever got hired after that was not eligible at all. The DPW so contract...
They've previously cut it off already.
Yes, both.
So
yes.
This really basically is just...
This has been going on since I've been on the commission, this discussion. We're just finally getting it to be on the agenda. And
so we're basically with this, what we're doing right here, by making it January 1st, 2014, is to clean up the language in the...
No, that's not to clean up the bargaining units.
No.
This is non...
This is the non-union.
This is non-union.
The only one that has not been addressed yet regarding the stipend.
Right.
So, if we match it up with, we have two options. Basically, one would you would follow what the police contract is. Anybody hired after that 2009 date, because we've already agreed to that. Or the DPW says, you know, March 29, 2012 was the cutoff, and then you'd have to have at least 10 years of service on that date. I believe there was two or three personnel that didn't get the benefit in the DPW. You know, Cindy, can you...
Was it 10 years of service on that date or 25 years of service?
10.
10. 10
on that.
Yes, 10. Mm-hmm.
So you're proposing that we go all the way back to whatever...
Well,
we
should match it up with one of the most recent contract that hadn't been done was the DPW.
Okay, so that...
And then, as of that day, you would have to have 10 years of service in the non-union ranks to get the stipend. If we went back and matched the city, the police department contract, that said you didn't have to have any seniority or time of service, just if you were hired after 2009. Which, basically, following that one, the only one it would remove is Andy Doyle. If we match up with the DPW, you would go all the way back to, you'd have to have at least 10 years in, so they had been hired in 2002 at least, March. So.
Me and anybody
haven't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this shows all 4 year hired.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So I think you need to postpone this for 8 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. I suspected I would get a comment from Barb because she was on the wire right there based on that number. She was going to be the cutoff point. Yes, because we're not quite to the December yet. January 1, under that, you know, if we went back to match the other.
Okay, so anyways... By using January 1st, 2014, we don't let any of our current non-union staff be eliminated from this stipend. It'd still be available to them if they put this many years in.
And with all the respect to Andy Doyle, at the minimum, this discussion was happening before she got here, and the fact it took this long to get on the agenda is still, that's beside the point.
Well, when you
I think we're...
But I didn't track top talent. It's,
right.
But,
okay, go ahead, Tom.
Well, we Mayor, there were some individuals, I don't quite... Cindy could look up the number, maybe Mike knows, on the DPW that did not make the cut based on that decision.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was not chosen lightly. We understand that there's a financial ramification. There's also financial cost to the city for the OPEB to set the funds aside. So, you know.
Mr. Mayor, so what you're saying, Derek, is that if we take a date back to be consistent with the union dates, I kind of see that as taking something away from these employees that have been working in good faith for a long time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a starting date is a starting date, but to go back and say that these people have lost something that they thought they were getting, just
well,
because we're trying to be consistent with language, I don't think that justifies the takeaway.
Mm-hmm.
which in effect would be a takeaway. Am I interpreting this right?
Yeah. Right. But if you recall, Commissioner Niehammer, you were part of that process, and I don't recall your exact vote on the DPW contract, but if you voted for that, then you voted to remove that benefit from somebody that thought they were going to have it at that point.
I agree, but that was a negotiated...
Right, we're now dealing with non-union.
Right, mm-hmm. but it was a negotiated item that went sure. back to, and both parties agreed to a negotiated contract.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This is, okay. Right now we're not in negotiations.
So you're saying we treat everybody differently?
I'm saying that the non-union people are not having that process of negotiation, and it's really not a negotiation, it's a contract through Mike's evaluation. So Mike handles the salaries of non-union.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But for him to now go back and say something that we're implementing a date that is retroactive, mm-hmm. I have a problem with that, if I'm interpreting it right.
You're entitled to have a problem with it. I'm making the argument.
Mike? Well, the fact of the matter is we do treat everybody differently. I make different wages than the other employees here. They all get different wages based on what they bring to the table.
Right.
Most of the non-union folks, I do think, is a differential between some of the other bargaining units, especially the department heads, and even some of our chief support staff. They come to us mid-careers. The likelihood that most of those people are going to be here 25 years is low. Am I going to be here another 14 or 15 years? I'd like to think so in some respects, and I've heard other people say they'd encourage me to do so, but after 5 or 10 years, that could very well change. But, I mean, so realistically, the odds are I'm not going to be here 25 years to take advantage of this benefit. Mm-hmm. Most of the people on that list mm-hmm. are not going to be here. Mm-hmm. This group is much more mobile than everybody else. Mm-hmm. So where you'll have almost 100% mm-hmm. of the DPW take advantage of this benefit, if you have 25% of this group take advantage of it, I would be surprised. So, yes, as I mentioned in my memo, we look at benefit levels. Do we say that they are going to be exactly the same for people, whether it's wages or life insurance or things of that nature? No. But I think we need to take a look at them and keep them in relative perspective of each other. And that's what I'm recommending here. And I am recommending something different than we have done with our bargaining groups that have the ability through their elected unions to bargain through. These folks are individuals. I have to represent management, and I have to, you know, work with all these folks as well too. That's why I came up with this recommendation as well. The cost, I think, for this bargaining group is going to be much less for any of the other groups. Police. I mean, the least turnover we have is in the AFSCME bargaining unit. We have more turnover in the police department, and then even more turnover in the non-union folks as well, too, because their skill set is different, and most of them are more mobile. They have different opportunities. Mm-hmm. I'm not casting value judgments on that. That's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. So I think this group should be treated somewhat differently. It gets the commission to the point that they ultimately want it to be. It's drawn a line. It's phasing this benefit out, which in hindsight, I wish we'd never implemented in 2005 to have to go through this pain of taking it away. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wish. When I got here, the commission was already 2 steps into it, where we had given it to AFSCME and the police department, and then mm-hmm. and they didn't have it here. And obviously, the economy's changed, and the commission desired to pull it back. This gets us that goal. Yeah, we might have a little longer tail on this one than we mm-hmm. do in the other bargaining units, but I think that tail isn't going to be wagged anywhere near as much. So that's my rationale for it.
So you're saying that the 25 years, the number of folks that are going to complete the 25 years to be eligible for the benefit, mm-hmm. is every time one?
Correct. I don't... Okay. Yeah, if you go back to that... Well, let me just go right
now. It's as an example, which is my point I was trying to make to you, is that I've been here 9 years. Probably won't be here 25 years. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the seniority chart and go through that, I mean, Barb's younger than I am, maybe she'll make it, but...
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yes.
When the decision was made for the police department bargaining unit, was that retroactive or was it made in 2009 and it affected those at that time? Or did it go retroactive? It was made later and dated back to 2009.
I have to check my part.
I wasn't on board. I would suspect it was probably during the contract time period, and that was whatever that contract that mm-hmm. they're negotiating. That. 3 years.
So nothing was taken from the current employees at the time. Probably it was just right. effective as of that day right. moving forward.
This discussion, I've been trying to get this on the agenda for 2 years. So.
Well, you need to wait 8 more months.
I believe in both the bargaining units, I'm thinking back on it, they both started out that at the effective date of a contract, that's when it came into effect. Mm-hmm. In the AFSCME bargaining unit, there was a two-step process?
Yes, that's, I was just about to say that.
Okay.
Where in the AFSCME contract, it was had an effective date, but it retroed back, said as of that day, you had to have at least 10 years. So that mm-hmm. requirement did affect some of the personnel
right,
within
that unit.
So in effect, that was mm-hmm. cutting people off that we're already expecting to have it.
Right, but not in the police department?
Yeah, I can't speak to the line. I wasn't here, so I don't know. Maybe mm-hmm. the mayor mm-hmm. could attest to that. I don't know. Generally, like, union contracts cover the time frame within the contract period, so whatever that is.
Ready?
Yeah, Laura.
Personally, I'm not in favor of taking anything away from what was already promised to someone. I've never been of that mindset. So I think we just move going forward. I think this is a good way to slowly maybe move off of this item and eliminate it over time. And I agree. I don't think some of these people will be here for 25 years, and that's quite a long time of service. And if they make it that long...
Right.
Maybe they deserve this. So, I think I'm fine with that going forward.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay with the language that's presented before us to make it January 1st, 2014.
Yeah.
And I'll ask for a motion from the board.
Chair, one quick follow before we go to motion. Do we have to, the OPEB requires that we have to plan as if every single person within that eligibility, as if they were going to take advantage of that, correct?
They also look at age of that individual.
Okay.
They look at statistics. You know, once this goes forward, I should have done this within this last year, but I knew this was going forward.
Right.
So, yeah, mm-hmm. every individual working here is looked at.
I do think they put in some actuarial assumptions,
correct.
Much like MERS does, as to
right.
how many people are not going to take it all the way
right.
to 25.
If someone drops off, does that change our OPEB requirements?
It will going forward.
Yeah.
So if somebody departs and they've completed 9 years or 10 years of service, whatever, and they leave employment,
mm-hmm. that lowers
our
main. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes.
That's the final question I have.
So, okay. In time.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Ask for a motion.
I'll move to approve to add language to Section 5.14B of the City of Boyne City's personnel policy stating that employees hired after January 1, 2014 shall not be eligible for this benefit and authorize the city manager to execute the document. The retirees stipend if they want to.
Tom seconded. Roll call.
Grinch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Gator?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Compelling argument, right?
Very good argument, yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. good of the order. Huh? No. Okay. Barry?
Yes, Mayor, thank you. Perhaps only recall my commentary about the dog park discussion,
mm-hmm.
and we had a citizen during her presentation and commentary indicated that the woodland field is used for the dogs, and there's, you know, the, there's no problems with dogs excrement at that location, and everybody takes care and cleans up their dog. I was contacted by a citizen said I just found out that the Easter egg roll that's going to take place there, where my child's going to be rolling around, is loaded with dog feces. And I said, well, that candy, I was just told to me that that's not true. So I went down and checked for myself, and there's still quite a bit of snow in the field. And I, unfortunately, at that time, I didn't see some there. I've subsequently been told that folks that were involved in the cleanup of that field had a couple cleanse bags, garbage bags full of the excrement. So I hope my concerns are not going to be borne out as this dog party moves forward, but this is just one thing because I understand human nature, and very careful what you guarantee, because that turned out to not be the case. And I don't know if that individual was contacted to maybe help out, and if they ultimately did or didn't. But I know there's some other individuals that were participating in that cleanup to make that safe for children to look for Easter eggs. So.
That individual is my first call.
Did they participate in assisting in the cleanup?
They were the first one here. And they rounded up other people to help. So that was, it was unfortunate, but very fortunate.
Yeah. I didn't receive a call from her indicating that she was in there and apologizing for that. Guarantee. I believe I said, can I put you down for guarantee?
And a point well made, but it also proves that we need a designated place for dogs so we don't have to use ball fields.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so that fence up there is going to be different? Human nature will change? Can I put you down for a guarantee?
No, but you won't have kids playing in the outfield.
Okay. So no children will be allowed at the dog park?
You got my point.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you got mine. That's all, man.
Okay.
Laura? I have nothing.
I got a question in regards to our citywide funding session. The adopted goals are going to be consolidated. Is that still a work in progress?
Yes.
Is that a finish pretty soon?
Yes.
Okay. Tomorrow, the Office Council of Government Strategy Work Session.
In Charlevoix?
Charlevoix. We have a group going from here.
Currently, we have three people that are anticipating going: Scott, Annie, and I believe yourself.
Okay. And at 6:00, we're going to meet back here for with environmental architects. Is that correct?
That is correct. That meeting has been posted as a work session. Cindy and I are not planning on attendance, so you can just meet me and say whatever you want to say with Ray and his team that are there.
Okay.
You may need a little bit of help to call the meeting to order. Ray will have a recorder, so Cindy can make some minutes for it later on.
Okay.
I anticipate you'll probably be meeting in the commission chambers next door.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else? Announcements. The Boyne City Business Expo and Taste of Boyne will be held Thursday, April 24th, 2014 at the former Carter Store from 3 to 7 p.m. The Charlevoix Emmett ISD Vocational Ed Millage Renewal Election will be Tuesday, May 6, 2014. Polls will be open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. City Hall will be open Saturday, May 3rd from 9 a.m. to 2 to issue and receive absentee ballots. The next regular City Commission meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, May 13th, 2014 at 7 p.m. And at 10 p.m., I'll make a motion that we close the meeting.
Second.
Roll call.
Gaylor.
Aye.
Grunch.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Sansom.
Aye.
Town.
Aye.
Motion carried.